Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Reading from verse 12. Okay. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Can we read that together? One more time. One, two, go. "For against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places," or in the heavenly. Hallelujah. Okay. So, if you're conversant with our website, amen, you know we have a teaching there on heaven, right? Okay. Now, in that teaching, we explain that there is a supernatural realm, a spiritual realm around us, right? Which we cannot see. Paul calls it the heavenlies. Okay, or heavenly places. You see, places there is italicized. Italicized words mean that they were added there by the translators, right? Meaning it's not original to that text. Paul didn't write that there. The translators put that there for easy reading and understanding. You get it? So the Greek would say the heavenlies. Praise the Lord. Okay, now that word is Hepiranos in the Greek. Hepiranos, that's Epouranios. Epouranios. That's that word heavenly, which means the heavenly realm. You get it? The heavenly realm, the sphere of the supernatural, where spirit beings dwell. Okay? The sphere of the supernatural, where spirit beings dwell. Now, this realm is all around us, but interestingly, it is hidden to our physical eyes. Okay, and it is not until God opens up the eyes of a man that he can see into this realm. Okay, in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha there, he prayed to God that the eyes of his servant be opened, right, to see this realm, so that he could see into this realm. Please, let's turn our Bible there. Let's see that. 2 Kings 6, verse 17. 2 Kings 6, verse 17. It says, "And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Underline that from open to see. "Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man." Underline that, opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Underline that, he saw. "And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." You see that? Now, these chariots of fire were angels. Hallelujah. So, these angels were there all along. Do you get it? When the eyes of these young men were opened, that wasn't the first time that those angels were there. Do you get it? Okay, the opening of the eyes of that young man did not put the angels there. The angels were always there. What did God do in that situation? God simply removed the veil. Did you get it? From the eyes of that servant. You get it? Then he saw into the spirit realm all around him. So the Christian must not get overly sensual. Okay? Have you seen some Christians today that say things like, "I only believe what I can see"? You are setting up yourself for trouble. You get it? "I only believe what I can see, what I can feel, what I can touch." Okay, you are what I can hear. You know, as the case may be, you are setting up yourself for trouble. Okay, there is so much, hallelujah, put that in capital letters, so much that our natural eyes cannot see. So much. Okay, there is so much going on around us. Every single day, every single second, every single minute, every single hour. Do you get it? Every single month. There is so much going on around us that we cannot see with our natural eyes, with our physical eyes. So there is a spirit realm around man. Do you follow that so far? A spirit realm around man, which man cannot see until his eyes are opened supernaturally by the power of the Lord. Now, in this spirit realm, there are beings. You get it? In this spirit realm, there are beings present. Okay? One of such beings is God. Amen. God dwells in the spirit realm. Matthew 6 verse 9 tells us that. Jesus speaking there says, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven. See that? And learn that, okay, in heaven or in the unseen realm. Okay, hallowed be your name. Do you get it? You know, in that teaching on heaven, I explained to you that heaven is not a kingdom up in the sky. You know, some people, when Jesus says our Father in heaven, they picture a throne up. Heaven there simply means the unseen realm. Get it? It's all around us, but we cannot see him. Do you get it? That's what Jesus is saying there. So our Father in the unseen realm, hallowed be your name. Not only is he in the heavenly, the unseen realm, his kingdom is also heavenly. You get it? His kingdom is in the unseen realm. That is, it is veiled to the human eyes. Look at verse 10 of that same chapter. It says, your kingdom come. It says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So where is that kingdom? Where his will is? Come on. Right? Okay. Which is where? In heaven. Okay. So his kingdom is in heaven. So God walks from the heavenlies. You can say that, okay? It is from there that he blessed us. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, where? In the heavenly. Praise the Lord. Underline that, okay? The heavenly places the italicized in Christ. Okay? It is there that he sat, is Christ, in the heavenlies. Verse 20, Ephesians 1 tells us that. It says, which he walked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, where? In the heavenly. Underline that, okay? In the heavenly places, the italicized. Okay? Not only that, and where he made us to sit with him. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2 verse 6, it says, and raised us up together and made us sit together, where? In the heavenly. Underline that, in the heavenly. In Christ Jesus. Okay, so men are present in this realm. See that? Being spirit beings. Every spirit being is present in that realm. Do you get it? You know, man has a spirit. Okay, so men are present in that realm. Not only that, angels are also present there. Okay, you find angels in the heavenlies. Ephesians 3 verse 10, it tells us that there. Ephesians 3:10, it says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly. Underline that, the principalities and powers in the heavenly. Now, principalities and powers refer to angels. You said, right? Okay, you may get that teaching on angels for more on that. Okay, so they are designated as being in heaven also. Okay, so we have in heaven, let's backtrack a bit, the unseen realm. We have God there, right? We have the spirits of men there, right? We also have angels in that realm. Now, there are also some creatures there. You get it? There are some creatures there which every Christian must be aware of as well. You see that Paul calls them rulers of the darkness and spiritual host of wickedness. Ephesians 6 verse 12. Turn your Bible there. Ephesians 6 12. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. It says, against the rulers of the darkness. Underline that, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness. Underline that, spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly. You see that? So where are they present? in the heavenly, in that same unseen realm. Now, we have a teaching where we explain the ministry of angels. And in that teaching, we kind of said that there are good spiritual forces all around us, right? Okay? Who seek our good and our protection. Okay? But let me say this to you, that there are also evil forces. Okay? We must be cognizant of. You know, for every good, there is bad. Right? For light, there is darkness. Okay? There are always two sides to a coin. So, just the same way God is in that heavenly realm, right? That spiritual realm, that unseen realm. Men are also there. Angels are also there. Okay, there is also a spiritual host of wickedness all around the believer. Okay, all around. Okay, of which he must be fully informed. So, this would lead us to our study on demons. Amen. Okay, so I want to find out, what does God's word teach about demons? Hallelujah. You know, we titled it, What the Bible Teaches, right? About demons. So, we want to find out. Hallelujah. So, are you ready? Hallelujah. Now, the word demon is daemon in the Greek. D-A-I-M-O-N. D-A-I-M-O-N. The O accentuated. It refers to an evil spirit. An evil spirit. This word daemon is derived from another Greek word, daemonion. Okay, daemonion. D-A-I-M-O-N-I-O-N. D-A-I-M-O-N-I-O-N. The O after M accentuated. Now, this word is a neuter diminutive noun. D-I-M-I-N-U-T-I-V-E. Okay, a neuter diminutive noun which emphasizes smallness. That's that word daemonion, okay? So, that word demon literally means small spirit. Okay? Or inferior spirit. Or fallen spirit. Small spirit, inferior spirit, or fallen spirit. One that fell from the high position that he was before. So, demons are twisted. Okay, they are twisted, darkened, supernatural beings. Okay, demons are angels who fell and became inferior. Now, concerning demons, let's begin this way. Where did demons come from? Hallelujah. Where did demons come from and how did they come about? Now, you see that there is no record that God created demons, right? See Genesis 1 verse 31. Genesis 1 verse 31. It says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Underline everything that he has made, and it was very good. Okay, it says, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, everything that God made would include both the natural and spiritual world. Okay, so everything God made in 6 days would include both the natural and the supernatural, the spiritual world. And look at this. It says that everything that God made was good. You see that? Originally. So if demons are evil, if demons are darkness, that means they cannot be a part of that good that was created originally. You follow that? Okay. So they came along the way. Okay. So if God made everything and everything was good, then that means that even angels, when they were made at that initial creation, were good, right? Okay, so there were no demons in the world that God created. But interestingly, by the time of Genesis chapter 3, we find there that Satan, in the midst of a serpent, was tempting Eve to sin. Let's see that. Genesis 3 verse 1. It says, but the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Is, I hope you know, serpent hair represents the devil. Okay, I hope I don't need to start doing exegesis for you. Someone was trying to argue with me. He says serpent hair is not the devil. So why would a Jew want to tempt a woman? Think about it logically. Why would a serpent want to tempt a woman? The ordinary snake. I mean. Okay, and he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So, what we call demons today originated in between Genesis 1:31 and Genesis 3. You see that so far? If everything God made is good, and by Genesis 3 we find Satan, okay, demon spirit, an evil spirit, okay, so that means what we call demons today originated in between. Do you get it? Genesis 1:31 and Genesis 3, not before, not after. Now you see that the Bible lets us know about a rebellion. Okay, a rebellion that took place amongst the heavenly host. You know, that's another terminology for angels, right? Okay, so you see that some angels turned against God. Peter tells us of angels who sinned in 2 Peter 2 verse 4. Let's see that quickly. Angels who sinned. It says, For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, underline that, the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Jude also provides information concerning this in Jude 6. Jude 6, it says, And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, underline that, did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, underline that, left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains, on the darkness for the judgment of the great day. So you see that Jude here tells us what their sin was. Jude here says that these angels did not keep their proper domain. You see that? But left their own abode. So we find that some of the angels chose to act contrary to God's word. Now you know angels can do that because they have a free will, just like men. That is explained in that teaching on angels. So let's explore this rebellion a bit more closely. Okay? Let's see it a bit more closely. What was the nature of this rebellion? And when exactly did it occur? Now you see that there are some Christians who believe that, quite interesting, that in heaven, Satan tried to stage a coup against God. I've heard that before. That in heaven, Satan was the choir master. Okay, so he was responsible for singing nice tunes to God. Amen. Then one day, Satan just said, No, I don't want to be singing in a choir. Okay, I want to be the pastor. Do you get it? You see, the choir members who do that are working by the devil. You get it? You know, the person is just in church singing, and he says, No, I'm tired. Why is pastor the only one every time? You get it? So they believe that's what happened in heaven, okay? So Satan tried to eye God's throne. He says, I want the throne. Okay, so he staged a coup. He got one third of the angels. Amen. So he staged a coup against God, you know, and then God also fought back. Jack and Chan, you know. So they were fighting one another, and then God prevailed. Amen. Okay, then he cast the devil out. And you see, that misconception is gotten from Revelation chapter 12. Okay, that text that speaks of Michael the archangel fighting against the devil, right, with his angels. You get it? So in their minds, they presume that that story is speaking of the original rebellion of the devil. Now that is not the case. Okay, Revelation 12 speaks of Satan trying to stop the birth of Jesus. Do you get it? Not his initial rebellion. No. You see that in Revelation 12, it speaks of a woman, right, who is pregnant with a child. And then the serpent tries to stop the child, right, from being born. And then the child is born. And then the serpent tries to destroy that child. And then he also says that that woman went to the wilderness. Come on. A woman in the wilderness, pregnant with a child. What's that? In the Old Testament, who went into the wilderness? 40 years, the Jews. Amen. Pregnant with what? The Messiah. Do you get it? I told you the book of Revelation is copy and paste of Genesis to Malachi. Do Do you get it? So Satan, right from the beginning, has always tried to stop the Jews. That's what that is talking about. Okay, so that he can prevent the birth of the Messiah. Not speaking of his initial rebellion at all. Do you get it? Okay, but I'm not teaching Revelation today. Amen. So let me run back here quickly. All right, so the question now is, when exactly did Satan and the demons fall? Hallelujah. When exactly? Okay, and what exactly did they do? All right, what was their sin? Now, it's quite simple. You see that the Apostle Paul lets us know that sin entered the world through Adam. Amen. Sin entered this world through Adam. Look at Romans 5, verse 12. Please, I want you to pay very close attention, okay? Romans 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man, now who is that man? Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Underline that sin entered the world, okay, through one man. Okay, so that means that you won't find sin before Adam fell. Do you get it? Sin entered because of Adam's act. Do you follow that? So that idea that there was a coup in heaven before Genesis 3 is not plausible. So that means that Adam's sin and that of the angels would happen simultaneously at the same time. So the fall of the devil would be on the earth. Okay? And it happened alongside the fall of Adam. Do you follow that? Now see this. Look at Hebrews 1 verse 13. Hebrews 1 verse 13. It says, but which of the angels, as he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And look at 14. Are they not all ministering spirits, underline that, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation, underline that, from two to salvation. You know, we said in that teaching on angels that angels were created to minister to men. You follow that? Those who will inherit salvation there are men. So angels were supposed to serve the men. You see that everything that God made was for the men. Angels inclusive. Look at Psalm 8, 6 to 7. Psalm 8, 6 to 7. It says, you have made him, him there is the man, to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. 7 says, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the parts of the seas. So God put man in charge of his created world. Okay, he was given dominion over the same. So you see that angels were to serve the man that God created. You see that so far? They are called ministering spirits. That was their role. So that means that the fall of Satan would have to do with this rule. Do you follow that? Let me backtrack a bit. God made man, right, to have his dominion, right? God put man, right, in charge of everything he made, right? And God made the angels, right, to serve man. So the sin of the devil, the fall of the devil, would have to do with that rule of service to man. Do you follow that so far? Okay, thank you very much. Now, there is a text in the Bible that describes Satan's fall to us. Okay? There's a text in the Bible that describes Satan's fall to us. Now, it's Isaiah 14. Please turn the Bible there quickly. Isaiah chapter 14. Now, this text describes the fall of Lucifer. Amen? The fall of Lucifer. Now, please note that Lucifer in that text is the king of Babylon. Amen? I see you're quiet. Lucifer, Isaiah 14, is the king of Babylon, not Satan. Do you get it? That entire chapter is about him, the king of Babylon. Let's see that. See Isaiah 14, verse 3. Isaiah 14, verse 3. It says, you know, this is going to deliver so many people. Hallelujah. Okay, it says, it shall come to pass in that day, the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow, and from your fear and the hard bondage in which you were made to serve, that you will take up this proverb against the who? King of Babylon. Underline that, the king of Babylon, and say, how the oppressor has seized the golden city, seized. Now, Lucifer is not Satan, but the king of Babylon. You follow that now? Okay, so that text, Isaiah 14, describes his fall and his pride. Do you get it? Isaiah 14 describes the pride and the fall of the king of Babylon. But in his pride and downfall, we see a manifestation of the devil. Can I see how you follow that? Okay, so what does Isaiah do in Isaiah chapter 14? Isaiah uses an earthly king's rebellion to reveal the fall of Satan. Do you get it? He uses an earthly king's rebellion to reveal the fall of Satan. Now remember that the devil controls the mind of the unsaved. Okay, run through now. Ephesians 2:1. Okay, Ephesians 2:1. It says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Now look at this. According to the prince of the power of the air. Underline that. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. Underline that, walks in the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we also conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. The devil controls the sinful world. 1 John 5:19. He controls the sinful world. 1 John 5:19. It says that we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway or under the control of the wicked one. You see that there? Underline that, okay? Under the sway of the wicked one. You see that the devil governs the heart of the sinful. 2 Timothy 2:24. He governs the heart of the sinful. 2 Timothy 2:24. It says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So those will be those who oppose his message, right? Okay, his teaching. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. Underline that, they may know the truth. 26 says, and that they may come to their senses. Underline that, come to their senses. That is, they don't know what they are doing. Come on, do you see that? Okay, it says, and escape the snare of the devil. You see that? So there is a puppet master, right? Behind their actions, behind the characteristics, behind their behaviors. It says, the devil. Underline that, okay, escape the snare of the devil. It says, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Underline that, okay, from taken to will. You see that the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, and Paul lets the Corinthians know that they were under the spell of the devil. Okay, when they worshipped idols. See 1 Corinthians 12:2. 1 Corinthians 12:2, it says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. Now look at this. However, you were led. Underline that. However, you were led. That is, the Corinthians were led. Do you follow that? Controlled by the devil to worship idols. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he lets us know that Cain's sin was influenced by the devil. John 8:44. John 8:44. It says, you are of your father the devil. You see that? It says, and the desires of your father you want to do. Speaking to sinners. Do you get it? It says, he was a murderer from the beginning. Underline that. Was a murderer from the beginning. And does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar and the father of it. Now, notice that statement. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, the beginning would refer to what? Genesis. Thank you. So, this here refers to Genesis chapter 4. Okay, when Cain killed Abel, right? He killed his brother Abel. Now, Satan was behind that. That's what Jesus is saying here. Do you see that? Satan was behind that. Now, interestingly, if you went back to Genesis chapter 4, you won't see Satan there. Right? Satan is not mentioned at all in that Genesis 4 narrative, right? Okay, but he was there. Jesus shows us that, right? He was there walking behind the scenes through Cain's hatred and jealousy. Do you get it? It was in Cain's hatred and jealousy. You see that John tells us that Cain was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. 1 John 3:12. He got that from Jesus, amen? See, he's a good disciple. Okay, let's see that. 1 John 3:12. Okay, it says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, underline that, of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. You see that? When you go to Genesis 4, what do you read there? Anger, jealousy, murder. Is the devil mentioned? No. Do you see that? So that means that in the actions of the sinner, we see the attributes of the devil. Come on, do you follow that? In the actions of the sinner, we see the attributes of the devil revealed. So sinners lie because Satan lies. You get it? They kill because Satan kills. They steal because Satan steals. Every act of rebellion is a direct revelation of Satan's character. You follow that? You know, I told you that spirits usually reveal themselves through men, right? Because they are invisible. You get it? Just the same way God reveals himself through men, right? Like indoors, right? Remember Imago Dei? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so in the same way, Satan is invisible, but in the characteristics of a man, he's found. Do you get it? In the mannerisms of a man, he's found. So I wrote here that the devil is revealed through men that he controls. Do you get it? You don't have to see him physically, but he is revealed through the characteristics, the mannerisms, the attributes of the men that he controls. So that means that the pride and the rebellion of the king of Babylon reveals the pride and the rebellion of the devil. Can I see any follow that so far? Okay, so he reveals himself through men that he controls. Isaiah 14 doesn't speak of the devil at all. Do you get it? It speaks of the king of Babylon. But in the actions of that king, the devil will be revealed. Can I see any follow that? Thank you. Now let's see that. Isaiah 14:12-15. Isaiah 14. Please, I want to turn your Bible there, okay? I want you to see this. Isaiah 14:12-15. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Now that is the king of Babylon, okay? Originally. It says, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, now pay attention to this, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the eyes of the clouds. Now look at this. I will be like the Most High. Underline that. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. So look at this. Just like the king of Babylon, Satan's sin was pride. Do you see that there? He and the demons. Isaiah tells us here that they wanted to be like the Most High. Now that is very key. Okay? They wanted to be like the Most High. You see that Jude explains this to us as not keeping their proper domain. In Jude 6, right? It says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So the sin of the devil, the sin of demons, was refusing to keep their proper domain. Is that clear so far? Okay. Refusing to keep their proper domain. Now that word domain translates the Greek arche. A-R-C-H-E. Arche. A-R-C-H-E. The last E accentuated. It means position. Do you follow that? Position. That is, all angels had something assigned to them. A role, a duty, a position. Now to act otherwise would be rebellion. You follow that? Okay, a role is given to them, a task. So act otherwise would be rebellion. Now the question is, what role was assigned to the angels? as seen in Hebrews 1:13-14, simple to minister to man. Right? They were to be ministering spirits. So the devil's rebellion would be to act against this rule, to leave his domain. So simply put, the devil wanted to be master instead of minister. Now what can we call that? Pride. You know, Isaiah tells us that the devil said, I will ascend above the clouds, the eyes of the clouds. He says, I will be like the Most High. Okay, Isaiah 14:14. So Satan wanted to be like God. Now, you know, this is not saying that Satan wanted to be like God Almighty. You know, Satan is not that dumb. Do you get it? That idea that he wanted to fight God and take his throne, he's not that dumb. Okay, he knows he can't. Okay, and that is why that idea that, you know, Satan tried to fight God and collect his throne, you know, it's quite ridiculous. So, who is he referring to here? He says, I want to be like God. Not God Almighty. Okay, now there is just one person who was made this way. Right? Like God. Now, who is that? Man. Do you follow that? Look at Genesis 1:26. I see several of you are smiling and nodding your head. You know, that children church thing is just dropping. Little by little. Okay, see Genesis 1:26. It says, then God said, let us what? Make man in our image, underline that, in our image, according to our likeness, underline that, according to our likeness, let them have dominion, very key, underline that, dominion, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, underline that, in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, underline that, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So God created man in his own image. We can say it this way, that man looked like God. Do you get it? Okay, now image here refers to functionality. Okay, function. That is, man would have dominion over all that God created. You know, for more on this, get that teaching in Imago Dei. All of this is explained there, okay? So man was created with dominion. Okay, now this is what the devil wanted when he says, I will ascend, okay, above the eyes of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. What is he saying there? He's saying, I will usurp man's authority. Do you get it? So when he says, I want to be like God, he's saying, I want to take what God has given man. Do you follow that? That authority with man. Okay, so to be like the Most High is to want God's image in man. So who did the devil want to be like when he says, I'll be like the Most High? Man. Okay, now that was the devil's sin. Do you get it? That was how he left his domain, his office, his position. Now follow closely. Okay, so that is a plan, right? Okay, then you have a plan, you have execution of the plan, right? Okay, so he sought to execute this plan. Now you see that in Genesis chapter 2, God there gives man a choice, right? To choose between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now I've told you several times that the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are figurative. Okay, symbolic. They are not literal trees. So that means that if you went to the time of Genesis 2, you won't see any tree there. Okay, they are figurative. Okay, the tree of life represents spiritual life found in God. Amen. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represent death, spiritual death. Let's see that, okay? Genesis 2:16. As we begin to close gradually. Learning so far? Alright, thank you. Genesis 2:16. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Underline every tree, and you may freely eat. It says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Underline that, you shall surely die. Okay, you know that phrase, every tree here, is what causes that confusion that there were several trees there. Okay, so some believe that what God is saying here is you can eat agbalumo, right? You can eat cherry, as the case may be. You can eat apples. Amen. No, they said apple is the one. That's it. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Said it's apple. Okay, so you can eat others, okay, every tree except this one. But when you read Genesis 2 well, you find out that there were just two trees mentioned in the garden. Right? Just two trees. Genesis 2 verse 9. It says, and out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now what trees? The tree of life. You see that? In the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just two. You see that? So to choose one was to reject the other. One was life, okay, a picture of depending upon God for life, and the other, spiritual death. Okay, now a spiritual death will come about by man trying to find life in himself, which is what? Pride. Okay, so when God says of every tree you may freely eat except the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what is he telling man? Choose life. Hallelujah. Okay, so God's plan for the man is man choose life. But look at this, God wanted man to choose life completely independent of him. Okay, so what that means is that God will not influence or coerce man to make that choice. Do you get it? It won't coerce man's choice, man's decision. It will only guide it. Now, remember, what is the devil's plan? Usurp man's authority, look like God. Okay, now how would he do this? He will achieve that plan by causing the man to choose death. Okay, now that was his sin. Look at Genesis 3 verse 1. Okay, it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You see that? For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So sin would upset the balance. Okay? Now, man was created to exercise God's authority on the earth. Now, listening to the devil would remove man from his position of authority. Now, why? Because man chose to listen to his servant, Satan, instead of obeying God. Do you get it? So, the servant would become the master because the master obeyed him. Do you get it? It's obeying God. You know, your Lord is the one who influences your decisions. Your Lord is the one who controls your choices. Your Lord is the one you obey. There's a principle in the Bible that you are a slave to whatever you obey. Look at Romans 6 verse 15. Please turn your Bible there. I want you to see this. Romans 6 verse 16. Paul speaking there says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Underline that, you are that one slave whom you obey. See that there? Whether of sin leading to death, of obedience leading to righteousness. Look at John 8, verse 34. John 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Underline that. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So your Lord is the one that you obey. Is that clear so far? Your Lord is he who you obey. Now God was supposed to be that Lord to man. But look at this. By obeying the devil, instead of God, man made the devil his Lord. Do you see that? Okay, so Adam legally, okay, gives his authority to the devil, which was the devil's plan all along. So this was the devil's sin. Okay? Choosing to rule the man than to serve him. You get it? And what can we call this? Pride. Now when this happened, man sinned, right? That is, he missed the mark. And the devil sinned as well. Now how did that happen? He left his domain. He left his duty post of service to man. Now, there and then, they both switched positions. Okay? Spiritually speaking. So, you see that the devil's sin was not before Adam's sin. Okay? But together with it. Do you get it now? Thank you. And then, the angels who followed Satan also fell with him. Now, this is how demons were created. Okay? Okay, demons would be those angels who, like men, submitted to Satan rather than God. So you see that what we call Satan and demons today actually originated because men sinned. Okay, Satan and demons are one of the several abominations that man's sin, man's transgression created. One of such abominations is death. Amen. One of the results of man's sin is death, sickness as well. Okay, so man's sin caused a lot of evil in the world. One of such evil was that it twisted the angels. Do you get it? Okay, turned them into something else, from light into darkness. Now, interestingly, Satan and the demons sought men's authority, right? You know, that was the plan all along. I want to be like God, okay, in their rebellion. But instead, their rebellion twisted them. Okay, they believed that they would be more powerful by sinning, but ironically, they fell by sinning. So the power that Satan and demons now have is corrupted, sinful. Okay, Satan and demons are falling from that pure light, which is found only in God. Alright, so Satan and his demons are therefore hostile forces of darkness. You see that there? Hostile forces of darkness who inspire mankind to sin. Okay, to rebel against God's authority. Look at 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 as we close. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. He says, but I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve, underline that, the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Okay, you see that it was Satan that caused Cain to sin, and is the father of liars. John 8 verse 33. As we close, John 8 verse 33. It says, you have your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Underline your father, the devil, okay? And desires of your father. It says he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar. Underline that, he's a liar and the father of it. Now that word father here means a role model. Okay? One whose lifestyle others copy. That's how, you know, I've told you, that's how the sinner, right, is the son of the devil. That's how the devil is father to the sinner. The devil is that one whose lifestyle the sinner copies. So the sinner follows in Satan's footsteps. And most times he does so unknowingly. Okay, Paul says that he's led astray, he's deceived. Okay, so Satan and his demons oppose God's will on the earth today. And they do that with that corrupted authority that they stole from man. Okay? And interestingly, as long as the man persists in sinning against God, the devil can control him. Okay? I wrote here that the devil draws his power from man's sins. You follow that? The devil draws his power from man's sins. Look at how Moses says this in Genesis 3 verse 14. It says, you shall eat dust, right? You shall eat dust all the days of your life. Now remember, God here is speaking to the devil, right? The serpent. Okay, now, who was made out of dust? It was the man, right? Genesis 2 verse 7. So when it says here that you will eat dust, okay, that is the devil will eat, you get it? It would derive strength, it would derive power from man. So what that means is that the man would be like a power source. You get it? Today we have a word for that, a battery. Okay, for the devil. As long as man continues in sin, the devil has power over him. Do you get it? Okay, because it was through sin that he received that authority at the beginning. You get it? So what God is saying here is that the man would be oppressed by the devil. Okay, the devil would rule over him. You know, some ministers of God say it this way, that we created Satan. You get it? We created Satan. Now, they are not altogether wrong. Alright? Satan only has power because men give it to him by sinning. You follow that? He derives his power, his might, his authority, his strength from men in sin. Okay, and that power can be exercised over everyone who remains under the power of sin. So this is how the devil fell. Is that clear? Okay, his falling was together with the man, not before, not after. You get it? God gave the man instructions. Man was supposed to make God the Lord of his life, right? By obeying God's own instructions. The devil was made as a servant. You know, man was not supposed to get instructions or take instructions from the devil, right? Because the devil is an angel. Okay? Man to serve him. Okay? And the one you take instructions from is your Lord, your master. But man chose to do, you know, the exact opposite of that. He listened to the devil, okay, in rebellion against God, and he fell, and the devil also fell together with him. Okay? And all the angels of light who went with the devil in that rebellion also fell together with him. This was how they lost their domain. Do you get it? This was how they lost their domain. That position, that first place, that archaic that was given to them. Did you learn? All right, we'll continue from here. Lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him.